Good evening, everyone. So the allocated chapter for me is 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I know it's running a bit out of order. I supposed to take this chapter a few weeks ago. I was sick. And I think next week is chapter 1. And then following 6, I think. Anyway, let's read our chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience shared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it to be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourish up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and all wives fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading and exhortation of to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the one of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, once again bringing us together to listen from your word. Lord, as a church we gather, we pray for everyone here today, Lord. Be with us, Lord. Guide us, Lord, as I speak. Guide me, Lord, the words I prepare, Lord. Give the light for members to come take that with them for the coming weeks, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 1 Timothy chapter 4 is, this is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a young leader named Timothy. Paul deeply cared for Timothy like a father to a son. And he gave him a lot of advice about life, faith, and ministry. When we read the whole chapter, we understand that. So this chapter is full of wisdom for all of us, just not for a young leader or just elders in church. It speaks to anyone who wants to follow Jesus faithfully in a world full of distractions, confusion, and false ideas. So some scholars call this book Church Manual. Main purpose of this book is to guide Timothy in managing the church and guarding the truth. So just point out a few points. So the first, Timothy, in many, all these chapters cover major topics. We can see in chapter 1 and 4, warning against false teachers. And then we see chapter 4, qualifications for elders and deacons. Then we see in chapter 2, instruction for worship and prayer. And then we see in chapter 5, care for widows and church members. And chapter 6, we see love of money and condemnment. So we see this all like a very important for our church life, for the church members. So it's like a manual for the church. And then when we go to Timothy, 2 Timothy, this is kind of Paul's final words. So main purpose of 2 Timothy is encouragement to Timothy to remain strong and faithful to Christ. In that four chapters, mainly, it's the chapter one is like encouragement in face of persecution, and the chapters two we see importance of passing the gospel to the future generation, and then the chapter three we see warning about last days and false teachers again in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And then we see in chapter 4 that preach word in all seasons. And Paul's reflection before his death, we see that end of that chapter. So in this chapter, the 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul talks about three main things, which is the first part is people will leave the faith and follow wrong teachings. And when we come to the middle part, we see we need to train ourselves to live a godly lives. And then the last part, we see that we must be example to others in everything we do. Let's go through this chapter section by section and see what God's saying us through these powerful words. And then once I finish that, I'll come back and then focus on the first part a little bit more. So Paul begins with a strong warning. This Holy Spirit clearly says that in the future, some people will turn away from faith. They will listen to false spirit and wrong teachings from demons. So Paul is saying that some people who once believed in Jesus will stop believing. Why? Because they will start following lies that come from evil sources, not from God. These lies may sound spiritual, but they are dangerous. So Paul says these false teachers will speak lies and not feel bad about it. Their hearts will be hardened like they have been burned with a hot iron. They won't care about truths or what's right. So this book being written more than probably 1900 years ago by Paul to Timothy, and it says later times some shall depart from the faith. So this was written, Paul, the first Timothy was written around AD 62 to 64, and the second Timothy was wrote 66, 67 periods. So when I was preparing for this, I did a bit of research, see what is going on in the world about Christianity and the other religions. And I was just curious to look how many people left Christianity. So when I looked, the current situation for Christianity all over the world is 31.2%, which is 2.4 billion people. And Islam is 24.1%, which is around 1.5 billion. And unaffiliated, which people have no faith or no connection, is around 1.3 billion, which is a 16%. Then I looked what is happening in India. Hinduism is around 15.1, which is 1.2 billion. And Buddhism is the next high percentage, 6.9%, which is around 550 million people. And then the other one, Sikhism, and all the other atheists all covers like 550 million people. So then I looked the growth trends, how the growth is going. So Islam is currently the fastest growing major religion. And that we feel sad about it, but the good thing is it's just not because of their teachings or their doctrines is valuable, because it's due to high birth rates in Muslim majority countries. So Christianity is growing in sub-Saharan Africa, but declining in West countries. And the unaffiliated group is more growing in the western parts. Sorry. In Europe, North America, and in Australia. So, but the percentage, even though their numbers were they're growing, the percentage is not growing because they're shrinking in percentage due to low birth rates in western parts. Hinduism and Buddhism also growing. Sorry, I haven't recovered from the COVID or influenza 4 weeks ago. And as I said, Hinduism and Buddhism also growing, mostly due to the population growth in Asian parts, India, Nepal, and parts of Asia. And there is another study was showing, sorry, by 2050, the projection, what is the projection? So by 2050, Muslims may nearly equal or slightly surpass the Christians in numbers due to the high growth in the, all the Muslim countries. And Christianity will shift more toward Africa and Latin America. Once it used to be West, but now we are shrinking there. And the unaffiliated, as I said, may decline slightly to global share despite the growing in the West because of the low birth rate. And in many countries, people are leaving Christianity faster than joining. But you know, we don't need to be disheartened by this. There are some good numbers. While it's declining in the West, Christianity is growing in Africa, Latin America, and parts of Asia. In fact, Africa is expected to have over 1.3 billion Christians by 2050, becoming a global center for Christianity. That's why some studies show it. And then I looked why people are leaving Christianity or churches. So the common reasons people give for turning away from Christianity is the following reasons: hypocrisy or scandals in the church, intellectual doubts or scientific questions, which is unanswered, disconnection with the institutional religion, and changing social values like around sexuality and justice, and also personal suffering and unanswered prayers, and influence of secular culture and social media. So these are the main facts that people leaving Christianity. So what Paul want in 1 Timothy chapter 4, that some will depart from the faith, is being seen in real time in many countries. But Jesus also said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So while some are turning away, God is still calling people to himself, and the gospel is still powerful and always will be. So the first part of this chapter, Paul is saying that some people once believed in Jesus will stop believing and then depart from the Christianity. This Paul says these false teachers will speak lies and not feel bad about it. So what were they teaching? Paul's mentioned two things here. They told people not to get married. So we see that in verse 3. And also we see that they said it was wrong to eat certain food. So, but Paul says this is wrong. So he reminds us that everything God created is good and we can enjoy it with a thankful heart. If we pray and give thanks, the food we eat is made holy. So we see that in verse 4 and 5. So some of the things to take away from this first five words: don't believe everything that sounds spiritual, and be careful of people who add extra rules to what God has said. And thank God for his good gifts like food, freedom in Christ, and also like marriage and family. So when we come to the middle part, we see verse 6 to 10 is like a chapter for train yourself to be godly. So Paul now speaks directly to Timothy as a leader. If you tell these things to believers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. So Paul says Timothy should teach the truth and stay strong in his faith. And he wants him to stay away from silly stories and like useless arguments. We see that in verse 7. Instead, Paul says, train yourself to be godly. And Paul says that also in verse 8, we can see that physical exercise is helpful for a little while, but training to be like God, to live in a godly way, is useful for everything. It helps us now, and it's also prepare us for an eternal life. So we see that in verse 8. So think about that just like we exercise to keep our bodies healthy. What this word says, we need to exercise our minds and hearts to stay strong in our walk with God. And how do we do that? So Paul says, read Bible regularly, pray every day, make good choices when it's hard, even when it's hard, and serve others and stay close to other believers. So Paul also says that the kind of life will involve hard work and even suffering. So we see that in verse 10. But we do it because we trust in the living God who wants to save everyone, especially those who believe in him. So this is not always easy, but it is worth it. A godly life brings peace, strength, and hope that wealth cannot offer. And then when we see verse 11 and 12, it says, be a good example. So Paul then tells Timothy, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. So Timothy was a young leader, and maybe some people didn't take him seriously. But Paul tells him, don't worry about your age, just leave us a good example. So he tells Timothy to be a good example in basically six areas, which is what you say. So speak truthfully and kindly. And then the second thing says how you live. Let your actions match your words. We see lots of people that they speak very kind words, but when it's come to actions, you don't see kindness or, you know, like to help others. So it's very important, let your actions match your words. And how you love others as Jesus loves us. And then the fourth one is your faith. Trust God in every part of your life. And then the fifth one, Paul says, your purity. Stay away from sin and live a clean life. And then the sixth one, your attitude. Be humble and gentle. So this is a great reminder for us too. We may not be preachers, but we are all like leaders in our own circles, you know, like at home, at work, or among our friends. So people are watching us, so let's show them what a real Christian life looks like. And then when we come to the last part, verse 13 and 15, Paul says, until I come, keep reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the people and teach them. So Paul is telling Timothy to focus on God's words, to read it, teach it, and encourage others with it. This reminds us how important the words is. Then Paul says something very personal to Timothy. Do not forget the gift that God gave you. So we see that in verse 14. Verse 14, Timothy had a special gift, probably is preaching or leading. It's not very clear from that point. and Paul remind him not to let it go to waste. So many of us also have gifts from God, maybe for helping, singing, encouraging, or serving, or even leading, you know, but sometimes we get busy with our personal life and or tired, and we stop using them. So Paul is just reminding us just to use your gifts. And Paul says, don't give up, keep going, stay focused. Give yourself completely to God's work so people can see what you are growing. So that's, we see that in verse 16. And then we all need to grow in faith. You know, like none of us are perfect. Probably, you know, I'm not most imperfect person here. But when we stay close to God and use our gifts, others also will be blessed. So we'll be also blessed when we do this. So then the last words, he says, very powerful word, watch your life and teaching closely. Keep doing this, because if you do, you will save both yourself and those who listen to you. So Paul is saying, pay attention to how you live and what you believe. Both are very important. If you live right but believe wrong, you can be misled. And then if you believe right but live wrong, you become a bad example in the community and in the church. So God wants both of our hearts and our actions to match. When they do, we help not just ourselves, but also the people around us. So this is a reminder that our faith is not just personal, it's also public. People are watching. Our lives can lead others towards Jesus or away from Him. So then I was looking, why people are leaving, or how we can bring people back to church, you know, the reasons, not just this church, generally. So some shall depart from faith. So this is clearly about people leaving the faith, not the church. You know, some people move church to another church. It's all for the people who leave faith. So how we bring back people back to church? So across the world, so many churches are seeing people walk away from their faith, stop attending church, or disconnect from the Christian community. So this trend is especially seen in Western society, where younger generations are more likely to identify as spiritual but not religious, and or completely unaffiliated. So it's a challenge that for the elders and leaders and committed believers everywhere are dealing with today's world. But we need to understand, what we need to understand is this is not a new problem. So in 1 Timothy, we just read chapter 4, Paul gives us both a warning. So this was written more than 1900 years ago, a warning, that solution. Also, Paul is giving us a solution to address this reality. So how we can, so first we need to recognize and realize this is falling away, you know, like people are leaving. So we need to accept this change. The first step is to acknowledge the people turning away from faith is real and expected. And we should not be surprised or discouraged as if this is new. This Bible is prepared us for this, but while it is expected, it is not acceptable, you know. Like, our role as a believers is to care deeply about the spiritual well-being of others, to become active in preventing further loss. So Paul says the cause of people leaving is spiritual deception, lies that seem spiritual but are not rooted in truth. In today's world, see these lies come through some, you know, like some examples, popular culture, social medias, or false teachings, and sometimes it can be hurtful church experiences or misunderstanding of God's words. To respond effectively, we must become people of truth and grounded in God's words and led by the Holy Spirit. Sorry. And then another thing that we need to look, also we read earlier in Timothy 3 to 5, build a church culture of thankfulness and freedom. So Paul points out that false teachers were adding strict rules for, like, forbidding marriage or certain foods, making people feel that spirituality is all about restrictions. So one reason people leave the church is because they see it's a place of judgment. You know, people judge each other. It happens everywhere. And some people think it's restrictions and or legalism, not grace and joy. So what Paul says here, we must show people that the Christian life is one of freedom, gratitude, and celebration of God's goodness. So how we can do this in practical life? So celebrate life, like, you know, life-giving things like marriage, family, and fellowship. So we should celebrate all these things and encourage people to enjoy God's blessing with a thankful heart and remove legalism and replace it with biblical grace. So which we all see, and I struggle with sometimes, like, you know, the rules, certain rules being followed by generations. So I'm also a person who likes to, you know, continue with the rules and regulations. But when it comes to new, you know, generation, there are certain things that what I learned or not, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. So avoid the legalism and replace it with the biblical grace. And avoid man-made rules that drive people away from Christ. When church becomes a place of life, not burden, people will be drawn back to it. And then the Timothy 6 to 10, he says, focus on discipleship and godly living. So Paul tells Timothy, train yourself to be godly, and godliness is profitable for all things. So if we want people to come back to church, we must help them to see that the following Jesus changes their lives, not just for eternity, but in everyday life. So too often people leave because they were not deeply discipled. Maybe they only attend church service, but were never shown how to pray or how to study from the Bible, or how to live a holy life, or how to face trials. So some people, when they face struggles, they think, you know, I'm following Jesus, why I'm facing struggles? So we need to teach them the trials also, the part of this life. So we should focus more time on individuals who are struggling in any way. So some could be struggling with personal matters in our own church. You know, some could be struggling with the biblical matters. Whatever it is, the elders should identify the individuals like that in the, you know, our church and work with them and support them in their struggles. So when we support others in their struggles, they see love and godliness in us. If people see real transformation and purpose in following Christ, they are more likely to stay and grow in the church. So, and then the last part, Timothy says, live as an example. Paul says, live as an example. And this is a very famous Paul's advice to Timothy. Don't let anyone to look down on you because you are young, but be an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So people often leave the church because of bad examples. They see hypocrisy, double standards, or leadership failures. So one of the most powerful tools for bringing people back is to live out what we preach. So whatever we say, we should live a life like that. And everyone in the church, not just the elders or deacons, is called to be an example. So in how we speak to others, in how we treat our families, in our honesty, humility, and kindness, in how we respond to hardship. Some people are very good, you know, supporting other people when they have problems or when they have joy, but not together, you know, it's opposite. So we need to support people when they hardship or even when they share their joys with others. So when people are seeing genuine, loving, joyful Christians, they are more likely to reconsider their distance from the church and come back more, grow towards the other believers. And then the last part, it says, use the gifts of God has given. So Paul reminds Timothy not to neglect his spiritual gift. Do not neglect your gift. Be diligent so that everyone may see your progress. So the church is not just a place to attend. So it is a body where every member is called to serve. So many people feel disconnected because they don't feel needed or valued. One of the best ways to keep people involved is to help them discover their gifts and give them the opportunity to use them in our church. Like, you know, find singing, serving, teaching, helping, organizing, praying, or even some people are very good at creating things. So we should find those talents and we should encourage. And let the youth lead some meetings, you know, or encourage them to. Our youth group is very, it's very good to see they are growing, you know. So when I grow, I always say this, when I grew up in our church, you know, there were like few people were encouraged to do everything, not everyone. So those three, you know, few people, they like become good, you know, learning from the word. So just not that. So we should encourage everyone. So give a space for people to grow and try things. And people stay when they belong and when they have purpose and when they are challenged to grow. So my personal experience, I feel more belonging to this church when I come to cut. I said this before, when I come to cut the grass or when I clean the plates or dishes, I feel more belonging. You know, you feel like you are part of the church when you do something. But some people just come and it's not their fault. They come here and they leave because sometimes they feel like they're not asked to do something. So they don't do and they feel that they hang around for a bit. And they, or you know, but they're still in Christian faith. They go for another church, which is not bad. But to keep our church grow, so we need to find those people and encourage them, ask them to be part of our, groups. So, and the last part is Paul ends the chapter with the instruction: watch your life and doctrine closely, preserve in them because of you. Because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. So churches must remain faithful to sound doctrine and teaching what Bible says, but they must also live it out. So we need, what we need to do, we need both, like strong, loving preaching of truth, and also we need like a graceful living. By doing this, Paul says, we help save ourselves and others, not just in the eternal sense, but from confusion, sin, and drifting away. So if we want people to return to Christianity or in our church, we must become a church that is grounded in truth, full of grace, and vibrant in worship, committed in discipleship, and real in community. So, you know, we can't be away from community. We need to be real in community and focused on godliness and led by examples. So 1 Timothy 4 reminds us that the church should be a place of spiritual nourishment, not rules, a place of training for godliness, not tradition, a place where gifts are used, truth is preached, and love is real. As we live these truths, we may have wondered, you know, who may have wondered, begin to come back to our church, these things that we relay in our real life situation. So to conclude, so what God is teaching us through 1 Timothy chapter 4, so some people will turn away from the truth, so we must stay strong in our faith. And we need to train ourselves to be godly. Just like we train our bodies, we must train our hearts also. And then the third things we must be a good examples in what we say and do. So we should be doing the things what we say. And we should use the gifts God has given us and not let fear or laziness stop us. And we must always watch our life and our teaching because our examples matters. This is just not advice for, elders or church leaders. It's for every one of us, wherever you are young or old, new to faith, or a long-time believer. God is calling you to live a godly life in this confused world. So I encourage you today, stay close to Jesus, stay in His words, keep growing in your faith, and help others to do the same. So let's not waste the time or the gift God has given us. Let us live a life every day for Him, not just in our words. Let us live a life that pleasing our God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your words, Lord, that we heard the words from 1 Timothy chapter 4, Lord, that these words were written almost close to 2,000 years ago, Lord. But these words, what Paul wrote to Timothy, is still valid in this generation, Lord. That we pray for your words, that we grow, that this church, and by members, that in your truth, that the church that speak the truth, and what we do, that we speak, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.